therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, all of us please, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please take your seats. That's a very familiar piece of scripture. I just wanted to ask, what do you think is the least attended meeting in a church, generally speaking? Prayer meeting. That's right. Why do you think that is? Any takers? No? Okay, we'll find out. There's different reasons. Prayer is communication and connection with God. It's about a relationship. The subject of prayer is really the subject of faith. And for a lot of people, when they hear prayer, their heads go down. Usually because they've not really had positive experiences with prayer. And so there's no excitement at the idea of prayer. But we pray because we believe in faith that God actually hears us and that God actually wants to do something about our situation. Prayer is like a vehicle, something that takes us from point A to point B in our faith journey. So the title of my message this morning is Prayer, the Vehicle of Transformative Faith, Faith that Transforms. Who here believes that prayer works? Okay, some people in here believe that prayer works. Or some people just can't be bothered raising their hands. It's fine. Prayer works. We know that prayer works because every single one of us in the room today is here because of prayer. Somebody prayed so that we could be here. Somebody sowed seeds of faith and the wheels started turning. Somebody prayed for your salvation. Somebody prayed for this building. Somebody prayed for your healing when you were sick. Someone prayed for the house that you live in, the job that you have. And someone prayed for the peace that we enjoy in this country. Whether you've met them or not, somebody out there prayed. So we know that prayer works. The Bible has the whole Bible is a story of prayer. But I just want to share one from Acts 4, verse 29 to 31. And it says, this is Paul and Silas, who they'd been put in prison. And so they're pleading to God, "Now, Lord, look on their threats," the threats of the people who had thrown them in jail, "and grant to your servants," that's us, "that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We can absolutely pray about any and everything. In this instance, they prayed for boldness, and they prayed to be set free, and God set them free. This morning, I just sense, you know, that you might feel like you're in a situation where you feel like you're in prison. And I just want you to know that even though it may feel like you are in prison with your situation, prayer can set you free. God can set you free. And you can pray for God to set you free because it is His will for our lives that we be free. That's one powerful example of what God does. Boldness. Sometimes we get stuck because we feel like we can't speak. We can't approach that person. We can't pray for that person. We can't believe certain things. But it says we can actually pray to be bold. Because not all of us are naturally bold. I'm definitely not naturally a bold person. I naturally talk a lot, but I'm not naturally bold. And that's something you can certainly pray for, as we can see from this scripture. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:12 that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. In case you're thinking, I'm not the righteous, you're not the righteous, that's the people of God, the children of God. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. So if you've ever had any doubts that God actually attends to your prayers, the word says he does. So have confidence that every time you open your mouth and you pray, he hears you. So I want to start with this. Prayer works. Now, for most people, when we hear prayer works, we think it means God is going to say yes to all my requests. But that's not what it means. As we've just read, God hears us. He's attentive to our prayers. So prayer works. God will not always say yes to your prayers, because your prayers have to be in alignment with his word and his will, his purposes for your life. God will sometimes say no. The Bible tells us that he looks at our motives. He looks at our motives. So he's not going to always say yes. We don't give our children every single thing they ask of us. That would be irresponsible parenting. God sometimes will tell us to wait. And that's because there is an appointed time. If I am 15, in some places, you have young people that are married at young age, legally. And if I'm young at that age and I pray to have a child, God might not grant me that. Not because it's not his will, because obviously I'm married, I can have a child. But sometimes it's not the appointed time, because God knows best for us. So it's always important to understand that when we pray and we don't get what we're praying for, it doesn't mean that it's a no. Sometimes it's a wait. So despite the fact that we know God, that prayer works, we often fail to pray because we don't know how to. We often struggle with a prayer lifestyle, even if we do pray, because we get discouraged. And sometimes we start and stop, maybe out of laziness. And sometimes we undo our own prayers. On the one hand, we pray for healing, and the next breath we say, I don't know if I'll ever get over this sickness. On the one hand, we pray for our children to walk in the path of God, and the next breath we say, this child is useless. So we undo our own prayers. So my aim this morning is that there would be a shift for all of us in our relationship with prayer. Not our relationship with God, but our relationship with prayer, how we connect with prayer. From one of inconsistency and failed attempts to one where we have confidence that God actually hears our prayers. I had a dream once, and I may have shared it before, but I feel I need to share it. And in this dream, I was driving. There was a woman with three children. I hit the youngest child, and then I kept driving. But then I decided to come back. And when I came back, I decided to come back to pray. So I got down on my knees next to this, was what was supposed to be a child, but it was no longer a child. It was a ball of brain. And I started to pray for this ball of brain. And nothing happened. And I felt discouraged. And I wanted to leave. But the mother of the child was there. And she said, no, you cannot leave. If this Jesus, she said, I want to see if this Jesus can really raise people from the dead. And so I started to pray, and I said, brain, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And nothing happened. And I said it again, And suddenly this ball of brain started to expand. And I started to feel encouraged. And then I prayed again. And it became an even bigger ball of brain. And then I prayed again. And then it became a baby girl. Smoothest skin I've ever seen. And then I woke up. But I learned three great lessons from that. Number one, that prayer works. Number two, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Number three, that we must go back again. You see, in that moment when she said, this mother said, I want to see if this Jesus can raise people from the dead. That was a challenge of my faith. And you're going to have moments where your faith is challenged. But it was also a challenge of the authority of Jesus Christ. Just like the devil challenged Jesus in the desert. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. You are going to get moments where your faith is challenged. And that challenge is going to be in the form of challenging the authority or your understanding of the authority that Jesus Christ has or his name has. So it's going to be very, very important in your prayer life to have that understanding. Philippians 2:9-11 says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Calling on the name of Jesus activates something. As Christians, we have to understand that. You can pray, but if I try to pray in my own name or in the name of someone else, there is no power in that. But there's something that happens with that name. Now, what's important to understand is this. Prayer is not meant to be a formula. I remember the Spirit of God showing me once that I was praying about something and God said, there is no formulas. Because sometimes we may think that if I just do this or if I just do that, then God will do this and God will do that. So sometimes we have to watch for that religious spirit that would want to cause us to want to work with formulas. So next thing, we know that prayer works. We know there's power in the name. And now we need to know to go back again. I'm going to share from Mark chapter 8, verse 23 to 25. And this is from the New King James. And it says, then he came to Bethsaida. This is Jesus. And they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Prayer is about inviting God into your situation. The blind man was brought to Jesus. Those people who brought the blind man to Jesus were inviting Jesus into the situation. It says that he put his hands on him again. Because the man was seeing men looking like trees. And that was not his prayer request. His prayer request was not, Lord, help me see people and it's okay if they look like trees. He wanted to get his sight back. That was the prayer. And so Jesus goes back and prays again and again. When I prayed for the brain, it was not enough that it became an even bigger ball of brain. It needed to change into something else. There needed to be a transformation. Sometimes we get discouraged when we're praying. When we first start and we don't get answers to what we're praying for, we give up. We get discouraged. Pastor Stephen preached a message not too long ago about believe again. Believe again. This is in the same lines. Not only should you believe again, but go back again and again and again. So what should we pray for? I want to quickly go through what should we pray for and how should we approach prayer. When we pray, it's important that we pray with confidence. Sometimes we go to God in fear. Sometimes we go to God unsure whether he's actually listening or if he cares to listen. So how should we pray? We pray with confidence, and I would like us to think about this in terms of a vehicle. If you drive, which most people do here, think about a car. And I want to say, number one, learn to unload the boot. Learn to unload the boot when you go and pray. There's some stuff that things we carry into our prayer that doesn't need to be there. So it's important that we unload that stuff because we know that a car that's overloaded struggles to move. So it's important to unload the boot. Secondly, fill the tank. The Holy Spirit has been sent as a helper. And so it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, it's the Spirit of wisdom, and it's the Spirit of revelation. We need that fire of the Holy Spirit. But we should invite. Our job is to invite. Open our mouths and invite God. Invite the work of the Holy Spirit to take over. Next, we need to turn the key. And turning the key is about understanding that you need to be intentional with your prayer life. Prayer is key. Prayer is center to everything that we do as children of God. And prayer doesn't have to be complicated, but you have to turn the key. You have to decide to incorporate prayer into your everyday life. If you don't know how, get a discipleship partner. Get a prayer partner. Join a prayer group. We can even do that on Zoom. Join a connect group. Attend the church monthly meeting where we pray once a month. So there's different things you can do. Next thing, learn to close the door. If you're going to travel and do this prayer and get into prayer, there's certain doors you need to close. But I've just highlighted a few. Number one, pride. It's really important to watch your heart in terms of pride because pride blocks a lot of things. So when we get into that space of prayer, we need to be able to take that to God and ask God, like David did, search me, O God, and see if there's any offensive way in me. That's very important. We need to watch our speech. Watch what you say. Don't undo your own prayers. Watch your mind. The mind is powerful. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The things that we think impact how we pray. Watch the condition of your heart. Lastly, hit the brakes. Learn to slow down. Don't just go full speed ahead in your prayer without being sensitive to what's going on in your environment. Because it's not just about you. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's going to put things into perspective. Because sometimes we're going in the wrong direction and we need to hear the Holy Spirit to give us direction. So why is all of this important? What difference does it make? The difference, the reason why it's all important is this one word, legacy. There is a legacy at stake. Legacy is about what has been left behind. Macmillan Dictionary defines legacy as something such as a tradition or a problem that exists as a result of what has happened in the past. So a legacy doesn't have to necessarily be positive. It can be negative. When COVID hit, we had a big toilet paper situation. I don't know if you remember. Everyone was freaking out because there was a fear of, I don't know what the fear was, that there was toilet paper is going to run out and then there's going to be a few disasters, right? I don't know, but something happened there. So there was a fear of resources running out. But listen to this word from Mark 6, verse 35 to 37. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away." This is the people in the crowd. The disciples are saying to Jesus, "Send them away, that they may go into surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." They're basically saying, "We've run out of resources." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" They were essentially saying, "We're helpless. We can't do anything. We don't have the resources. We got nothing in our hands." That was their message. And sometimes that is our message to the people in our world, the people in our family, the people in our church, the people in our workplace. We're like, "I've got nothing for you." But his message to us, to them, to us, to them, to us, is you give them something to eat. So, I had this dream many years ago where there was a queue of people waiting in line. Long queue of people waiting to be served. And we were serving them meat and placing it in containers. Then the containers ran out while there were still people in the line. I started to worry that we did not have enough to give everyone. But then I thought, "I've got an idea." And I started to grab plastic bags from the side and started using them to serve the people. And the impression I got from that was that I have something that people need, and I must not worry that I will not have, there will not be enough. And that's what I want to say to us this afternoon, that you have something to give. And that is why the word to you is this: you give them something to eat. We often want to look for answers somewhere else. We think the solution lies with that next person because they've got more experience, because they've got more knowledge, because they've been in church longer. They know God more. They're the pastor. They're the evangelist. But God says to each and every one of us, you give them something to eat. As we stand up this afternoon, I just want to say this. Prayer doesn't have to be boring. Prayer is actually a partnership. It's a partnership. And the thing is, you know, one thing Pastor Stephen talks a lot about is how we are ambassadors. And I believe if you're an ambassador, before you go on assignment, you have to go and get the instructions of what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. If we are in partnership with God, I think it's important that we go and get instructions and go and find out what we need to do and how we do it. There is a legacy that you leave behind. Every single one of us. It says that the days that we live are numbered. And so there is a legacy. We are here now, but that won't always be the case. What is the legacy that you want to leave as an individual? And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about riches. I'm talking about what do you have and that you have to leave, you want to leave as a legacy. There's a legacy you will leave as a parent. They will talk about you and say, "This is how this parent was." There is a legacy that you will leave as a church. And it will be said, "This is how this church was." And there is a legacy that is going to be left by this nation, Australia. And that will be said about this country. "This is how Australia was." And so my prayer for all of us is this. Let our legacy be that prayer works. When we walk out there as individuals, as families, as a congregation, May we live like prayer works. Let our legacy be, there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to heal the brokenhearted. Power to open prison doors. And let our legacy be that we will go back again and again and again.